The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to Crow Park. It's the seventh floor of the Hogan Stand. It's the press box. Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Sunday's All-Ireland quarterfinals are over. Donegal and Kerry have joined Galway and Armagh. Probably happy that today's over, Paddy, are we? It's been a tough few days to be a dub.
Yeah, I missed last night. I wasn't there in person, but I watched it back this morning. So probably the story of the weekend. Galway dethroning Dublin, but they were full value for it. Today's games kind of went as expected. I know, Jimmy, you were a little bit more nervous about Kerry than I thought you needed to be. Derry kind of, for about 40-45 minutes, brought as much as they could, but you felt they were always going to be up against it to try and get a 75 minute performance after the last 3 or 4 weeks that they've had. And to be fair, Kerry, without really getting out of third gear, they did enough. They won the game 15-10, so it sets up probably two really interesting, intriguing semi-finals in a couple of weeks' time. This stage of the championship last year, the quarter-finals really lit up the championship. I think outside of the Galway result last night, the other three quarter-finals were pretty straightforward across the board. So a long day, but look, we move on to the couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, James, we're going to start grilling Paddy in a little bit about the dubs, right? Before we get there, today, Donegal got the job done earlier on against Louth.
Mm-hmm.
Some good, some bad. Plenty of good, some bad. Yeah, it was a good game. But Kerry got the job done against Derry. Mm-hmm. Is there anything more than saying, apart from getting the job done? Like, what more do we... The fourth
Petty,
quarter was definitely
Petty
better.
Just very cranky today. Because he's had a bad night. Weekend.
And well, no, he Taylor, has had a bad
he
weekend.
Had a great weekend.
He loved
Taylor
it
didn't
it.
Cheer him up enough. That wasn't a great game, obviously. Right? It was very slow. The attacks were ponderous, but that's because you can't give the ball away playing against teams that set up like that, because if you give the ball away, you're chasing the ball for 5 minutes on a slow attack.
Fair enough.
And you have to defend for so long, so you almost have to mirror the opposition's tactics in that situation. So it doesn't necessarily suit Kerry, but they kind of changed their game plan to suit this game. And I think it definitely made it a very poor spectacle. And because it was a poor spectacle, the crowd didn't get involved, and it was just, it seemed,
it was, flat,
it was a long 70 minutes. Yeah, it was a flat, long 70 minutes. Kerry up front aren't going great, to be honest. Mm. What's kind of masked that problem over the last couple of weeks has been they're getting a lot of scores from the back.
Brian
Begley, Tom Sullivan, they've gotten scores from midfield with Dermot and Joe. So that's kind of supplementing a small bit of a malfunctioned attack at times. But I think going forward against Armagh, and hopefully past that, you'll see the Kerry forward starting to get a little bit
Armagh written off already.
Better,
beautiful.
We're watching.
You can't play with no risk.
We're watching.
I think that today there was no risk
because
if you give
it's
the ball away,
Kerry. It isn't like Kerry.
You're in pain for 5 minutes. You're suffering.
We're all in pain. We're
chasing the ball.
We've just watched the spin doctor at work, James O'Donoghue. Well played on that one. In fairness, Jack O'Connor was asked the exact same thing in the press conference. The audio and the clips will go out tomorrow and Off the Ball on this part. This part is embargoed. But Tony Lean, the Examiner, said it to him. Do you know, like, what way would you want the game to be played like that? Did you want it to be played as slow and laborious as it was? Why didn't you do something different? And Jack was like, what did you want us to do? Like,
yeah,
these are the conversations that we had at half time. We wanted a bit more bravery in the second half. We wanted the lads, but we can't blame the boys for being cautious, because Derry, they've been stung a couple of times this year. Derry set up very defensively as well.
Yeah, we say this, it's whether you like it or not, the responsibility is not really with the coaches or the players to play edge of the seat stuff. We all want to see that, and it's amazing when we do see it. We don't see it enough, obviously, but their responsibility is to win the game. What's the most effective approach we can take today to win this game, particularly at this stage of the championship where it's knockout stuff? And Kerry, the best way for them to win the game, if you're Jack O'Connor and you're those players, and we've seen the reaction afterwards, it wasn't a great spectacle, but they've won by 5 points. And they weren't really ever in danger, even though it was 6-0 at half time. You didn't feel they were ever really in danger of losing that game. And they move on to the All Ireland semi finals. They can look across and go, well, geez, Dublin had a great game last night, but they're out of the championships. So the responsibility, whether we like it or not, and we've been there as players, you play to win. And the most effective way for Kerry to win that game against the way Derry were set up was to keep the ball, was to mind the ball as best as they could. It didn't lead to a great spectacle, but Jack O'Connor, those players don't care. They're in the All-Ireland semi-final. They will be probably favourites for the whole thing after this weekend. They'll be favourites against Armagh. We tee it up. I think it's going to be a similar type approach against Armagh. One of the great strengths they have under McKieran McGeaney is that defensive structure. They're hard to play against. So they're novel pairings for the All-Ireland semi-finals, but you have to say, from Jack's point of view and from the Kerry players' point of view, they've taken out a dangerous opponent today. They've won by 5 points. That's all they'll care about. Yeah.
James, every single team left here will feel like they can win Sam Maguire.
Yeah, 100%.
It's the beauty of it.
I think everyone... Yeah, once that Dublin result happened, I think it definitely put the cat amongst the pigeons, because...
How did you react?
I still think that Kerry Dublin give us the best entertainment value. And I also think that Kerry would have had the right people in the right positions to cause Dublin a lot of problems this year. So I wanted to see
Dublin
that.
Dublin are gone. He's still tactics for a Dublin match.
It wasn't this big relief that, oh, Dublin are gone. Do you know what I mean? Never that feeling. It was just a case of...
Here, Ambrose and Tim came into the press box today. Bottles of champagne in their hands. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I did hear a Kerry voice in the elevator on the way down, and it was neither Ambrose nor Tim, but they said, we're probably unbackable now for Sam.
Name names.
It's, I must say, Galway put together a little run.
They were full value last night.
They're hanging in there with their injuries and with the bodies they have available. If they can get everybody fit and firing, they're going to be very, very hard to beat. Donegal, on the other hand, have obviously come from Division 2 and had a great Ulster Championship. Are they All-Ireland ready yet?
No, they're not.
I don't know.
They're not.
They could be.
They're
you
not.
Know, once you get that momentum, they could end up winning it. It's probably a year early is my gut feeling on them, but they're still in unbelievable danger. Nobody's going to want to play them. But I think it's going to be a Kerry Galway final. That's what I'm hoping for, but
I don't think
you'd be confident in a Kerry Galway final after watching that today.
I think what Donegal have done in the space of what 8 or 9 months under Jim McGuinness, and the players deserve massive credit for it as well, is incredible. In terms of, they were in a really, really tough place last autumn. They've won Division 2, promoted to Division 2, they've won the Ulster Championship in an All-Ireland semi-final. They fancy their chances against Galway. We know Jim McGuinness, and they will know Pádraig Joyce exceptionally well. They'll have a plan for that game, but I said it even last month in the hype of Donegal Mania, I don't think they have the kicking game to win the All-Ireland at Croke Park. We know that, we've seen again today, the massive weapons they have from
Langan,
deep. With
Langan swung over.
No, it's their kick passing inside, anyone, Jimmy. Like, so the running game with Morgan, with Ryan McHugh as well, really, really effective. We see McBurty's probably not the threat that he might have been in previous.
That was just today, though.
No, it's not, Tommy. We've watched 5 of their championship matches. I don't think they have a brilliant A game. I think Donegal, we will have plans for those runners from deep. They'll be switched on. I think it's a big ask for Donegal to try and win the thing. And without that kicking threat, in terms of getting the ball up the pitch really quickly by foot, I haven't seen it in any of their games. Maybe Jim McGuinness will come up with a really innovative plan. We know he's done this in the past, but I'd be surprised if they overturn Galway. Galway, the biggest thing for them is bodies. We've said it all along through the pod. We get stick on the pod, we say with Galway, they have the highest ceiling outside of Dublin and Kerry if they have their 15 guys on the pitch. And yesterday, to be fair to Pádraig Joyce, the physios and those players, it was the first time we've seen whether Comer, Walsh and Finnerty were at their peak. It didn't matter, they were all on the pitch together, and the same thing, we've seen Finnerty go off early. Comer clearly wasn't moving as freely as he'd like, and Shane Walsh goes off with the hamstring after 60 minutes. If those guys are fully on the pitch for 70 plus minutes against Donegal, you'd have to make them strong favourites to back up that performance against Dublin and get to the All-Ireland final. And the same with Kerry, despite not being on the edge of your seat stuff today, If they can figure out that Armagh defence, you'd have them as favourites. But the big thing with Armagh and Kieran McGeaney's side of things, they seem to have found something over the last month where they're playing with a lot more freedom in terms of their transitions and how they attack, and nearly confidence in themselves. It seems crazy to say about a senior inter-county team, but if they throw the shackles off a bit against Kerry, I think they have weapons to really hurt that team as well. So that's a fascinating game. But I'd go with Jimmy in terms of favourites. you would be leaning towards Kerry and Galway to get through and a repeat of the final 2 years ago.
Wow. Well, look, I just think after the weekend that we've had, it's very difficult to be overly confident with anyone. And I know what you're saying. I take everything you're saying on board here.
You can make a case for them all.
Absolutely. But the next 2 weeks, surely the next 2 weeks, I know it's such a tight season, but a lot can happen in the next 2 weeks. Everyone's going to settle down, take stock, look at who they're facing. A couple of injuries might clear up, but the amount of confidence, and is there a bit of psychological boosting that can happen over the next 2 weeks when you know it's that close, or will some people crumble? Like, are people going to rise to the occasion over the next few weeks?
Well, if you saw the reaction of Jack O'Connor and his management team and the players on the field today after getting over that hump, Kerry beating Derry, you could almost feel the relief, and they're like, yes, we're on. Like, even that feeling bounces you into training on Tuesday, bounces you into Thursday. Next thing, maybe you're playing a half an hour AVB. Suddenly you're fresh, you're fit, you realise where you are. I'm in Northern semi-final, do you know? Like, that does get, it gets the butterflies going in the stomach. So I think all those teams are going to have that. And it's the footballers that show up now on at these stages, you know, the fellas who thrive under the pressure, the good weather, the nice sod in Croke Park, the silky skills. They're the fellas we need to show up now and start to complaints and get their team over the line.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break here on the Football Pod. It's brought to you every week with thanks to AIB. We're sitting here now looking down on Croke Park. The last time we did this, the Dubs got over the line against Kerry in the All-Ireland final last July. Paddy, you were very emotional that day, rightfully so. Three of your good friends and teammates secured their ninth All-Ireland medals. There's not going to be a tenth this year, so there's a different sort of emotion. We're going to pick that apart right after the break.
OTB GAA.
All right, you're very welcome back to the Football Pod of Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We're here overlooking the Seagulls and beautiful. The groundskeepers in Croke Park. It is beautiful. We're picking apart the four All-Ireland quarterfinals. The semi-final draw is Kerry up against Armagh, Donegal up against Galway. Both games are going to be in 2 weeks' time. Before we get to Saturday night in Croke Park, Paddy Andrews, Saturday night in the Aviva Stadium, Taylor Swift, what was your best, what was your moment there last night?
It was a great buzz going in. I remember we went in on the train and I was watching the first half of the Dublin game on that unbelievable platform, Nations platform, GAA Go, and walking in, and it was halftime. It was 11-7 and I was like, lovely, put the phone away now, Dubs are home and hosed, and the concert kicked off. Unbelievable buzz around the place, beautiful evening as well. And then about maybe an hour and a half into it, phone starts hopping right between the, I would say, the folklore era and the reputation era. And
who was ringing you, Dizzy?
I was like, the little fella's at home. It could be the babysitter. So I take out the phone, and little Hugo's fast asleep. So it's like, lovely. But to my horror,
did you not have Diego?
No, because I thought it was done. It was 11-7. I was like, that's it. Dublin win by 8.
It was 11-7, and Shane Walsh had hobbled off at half time.
The race was run. And then I looked to my horror, and there's messages there, and Galway have upset the Dubs. And I was surprised. I was immensely disappointed, obviously, because your friends and everyone are still involved, and it would have thought, I would have hoped Dublin would win the All-Ireland, and I felt that they would do it again this year. But I watched the second half back this morning then, 5 a.m. That's what happens when the little fella gets up that early. And you can have no complaints. Galway, their performance, or just to wrap up, Taylor Swift was incredible.
But did you react on the field?
I was very disappointed. Doreen was looking at me because I was giving it the big one, and then I was silent for about two or three songs. But Taylor got me back into it by the end of it.
Can I just say before you move on, you had a great saying earlier on. You said, Tommy, everyone's a Swiftie. It just depends who admits it and who doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. How open you are about it. But no, it was brilliant. But back, our listeners probably don't give a shit about that. But watching it back today, you got no complaints. Like, Galway, particularly that third quarter, you know, they don't go ahead until Johnny Heaney's point in the 66th minute, but they kind of waste quite a few opportunities in that third quarter. They're just dominant, and that athleticism and the power, Killian McDade kind of has a tour de force, probably his best performance that we've seen probably 2 years ago in that quarter.
He loves an All-Ireland quarterfinal.
Yeah, and the final against Kerry as well. But that athleticism, the power, I suppose kind of the bravery, we talk about it a lot, to win the biggest games, you need to really go after teams. And why I was so strong on Dublin, I felt that Dublin would win the All-Ireland. Not that there's been better Dublin teams over the last 10 years, but I feel they still had the experience and the players. And even if Dublin weren't going well, I kind of questioned what teams had the balls to really go after them. And to be fair to Galway, to those players, they stood up and they kind of threw the reputations out the window. Like Johnny Marr going on Fenton, Jack Lynn with Mannion. Like Galway just pushed up and went after Dublin all over the pitch.
Dylan McHugh,
Sean Mulkern, they've had exceptional championships. And the biggest thing, Dublin could have no complaints. Galway's energy, their attitude on the pitch as well. And the biggest thing from Dublin's side is that they just didn't have an answer. But they couldn't wrestle that momentum back. They didn't get the impact off the bench. And that was another thing that Desi decided to go with McCaffrey, with Mannion McCarthy from the start. It very reminiscent. We were here, was it 3 years ago now, for that All-Ireland semi-final where Mayo finally beat Dublin in 2020. Very similar to that. Momentum went against Dublin and they didn't have the answers to get it back. Yeah. In saying that, there's still only a point between the teams. Yeah. That's the margins are so, so tight. Yeah. But you have to say, you can have no complaints. Yesterday was Galway's day. They deserved that performance, Pádraig Joyce and those players, because it's been a tough season. It's been a tough 2 years, really, since the All-Ireland final. They haven't really hit anywhere near those heights. Oh. But the likes of Shane Walsh, it was his best performance, despite carrying an obvious knock coming into the game. But the bravery they showed and the skill they showed to take that game away from Dublin, they were worthy winners.
Let's hear you, James.
I thought the Galway were subpar first half. They did not come out of the traps at all. They were kind of sussing Dublin out, which I was hoping they'd just go at them from the start. But you know what? It actually played into their favour in the end, because Dublin were kind of toying with them. You almost felt that they could pull away here. And Galway just stayed in touch, got it back to, I think it was 3 at half-time.
4
at half-time. We're fine. It was kind of a case of get into the dressing room. And I think that at half-time, Dublin just didn't come out with enough gusto in the second half, and once McDade came up and kicked that inspiration score from the throw it was like, let's go. I thought McDade was the catalyst. He was the one who said, we are going to show up, we are going to be brave and take this to Dublin. And he kind of got the fellas in around him. Walsh obviously in the first half kept them involved, but those points from McDade were inspirational. And I think that he was the main man for Galway to get them going.
I thought another moment quickly after that, James. Comer gets a paw and a kick out, and it leads to another point.
Yes.
And Comer struggled. He clearly is another man that wasn't right. We haven't even mentioned Sean Kelly, who went off after 20 minutes for Keane Darcy. Yeah. So, Galway's boys, their top men, are on the field. They've put themselves out there, but it's not clicking for some of them. Comer kind of, by sheer force, makes an impact eventually, because Sean McMahon had him wrapped up.
But Galway left a lot of scores out there between Comer, Conroy. Heaney. Like,
McDade doesn't miss himself.
They had chances that they missed as well. Like, come the second half, I think they were saying, lads, this is completely here for us. Like, they were by far the better team. They'd taken over the game. I think they couldn't believe that Dublin didn't have an extra gear to go. And once Galway got that momentum, there was no stopping him. The thing about Dublin is, you can never be enough ahead. Like, even they were two ahead in the last couple of seconds, you think, this is game over. Dublin still managed to get a shot from the top of the D with Conor Allen.
And that would have been Galway's fault.
It would have. But you have to keep going. Get that next score. Get the next score. Because they'll always come back at you. There's something just in them to keep going. And in fairness to Dublin, I don't think that they would have wanted anyone else on top of the D having that shot. It was a poor connection. They missed it. So they could have no complaints. Whereas someone else probably would have worked a poor shot, or even, you know, the wrong person would have shot it. But I think Galway 100% deserved to win it. And the players at Galway developed from having a
tough league.
They had tough league forced because to, forced of the injuries. They've brought fellas through who now have a bit of, they kind of have a bit of belief. You know, I should be here. Mm. I've played a bit of a part this season. I've shown responsibility in the National League. Now I've played big championship games. I deserve to be here.
Bit of gusto.
Yeah.
Paddy, James said there the Dubs didn't have another gear. Why didn't they?
Dublin probably played most of the championship in second or third gear. That's just the nature of it. They haven't needed to get out of it. The reality is, you look at the wider landscape in the championship, there's not many times you need to get up at the fourth or fifth gear. We seen it last year in the All-Ireland final against Kerry, the intensity they played at. Galway, at their best, are one of the times where you need to be able to answer those questions. And I think Dublin probably got to about fourth gear yesterday, but they didn't have that final kick. And you look at defensively and in attack. Defensively, look at where Galway get all their scores from the second half. We're looking there, it's all around the D. It's all the centre channel. Even the misses they have, they're not crazy shots. Galway are working the ball into positions. Nearly every time they brought the ball up the pitch, they were getting a shot off. And that wasn't, it wasn't a tactical thing. Desi Ferrer wasn't outfoxed. The Dublin players know what they need to do. They know, I need to get back there. I need to get my hand on him. I need to get that block. But they just couldn't. They didn't seem to have it. And the same up front. The Dublin were getting bodies up the pitch, but they were turning the ball over. They didn't have that. We talk about penetration, punching holes, the likes of McCaffrey at his best, McCarthy, Fenton at his best. Dublin were up there, but they just didn't have that next gear. And you kind of say there was a bit of talk, speaking to a couple of people, there was maybe a bit of a bug in the camp. That's kind of over the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, the lasagna last night.
Dodgy lasagna.
Maybe that Spurs West Ham, was it?
Spurs was a player.
Never go for lasagna.
But they certainly... There's two things, right?
And the Dublin team, they're not coming out. That seems to be... There's a bit of chat around that. But just, you kind of think, is it... Dublin were the team that had the extra week off. You're thinking if anyone's going to be slow and low on energy, it's Galway. But it's...
Could the answer be like against Mayo? Desi brings on Paul Mannion and Jack McCaffrey in the 50th minute, and the power plays that the two of them were involved in.
Just the energy that gives as well. Like, so it's, that was the risk. And look, when you lose a game by a point, there's so many decisions, so many plays you look back on, refereeing decisions, team selection. The margins are so, so tight. From my point of view, I would have preferred seeing someone like Jack maybe come off the bench, because we know he just causes chaos and he can nearly focus pretty much solely on attacking, which is such a weapon for Dublin. But that's the challenge then. We don't know behind it. Like, Lee Gannon's been missing.
Yeah.
Pretty much Davy Byrne's gone away for the whole season, so maybe Dublin are a bit short there. Every team has injuries. You know, Galway, it'd be rich for Dublin to talk about injuries. Galway were decimated all season. So, yes, there's no doubt when you look in that final quarter, the kick that Dublin have gotten so many times at their best last season, and any time they've been successful, they didn't really get that yesterday. And that's the challenge for Desi. I'm sure they look at that and go, could we have kept maybe some of those guys in reserve? But when you've got the likes of McCaffrey, Mannion and McCarthy, like, you're talking about absolute blue-chip performers.
It's so hard to keep those guys on the bench, because they're probably the best players in training.
Mad for all.
They're probably the fittest. They're probably the best.
Do you think they're the fittest?
They're definitely up there. They're all...
You don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Mannion, McCaffrey, James McCarthy, I guarantee are up there in all aspects of the fitness. And then your man...
So what? They're just short match fitness. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying they're short any, but I'm saying in terms of playing them from the start versus on the bench, McCaffrey must be going, hang on, I've come on in all these games, I've delivered, it's my turn. Okay. I want to start again. So I want to influence the game.
Every
the
player wants to start. That is
the management that Desi had. It's easy to say he should have held him in reserve.
That's why when you lose a game by a point, that's the type of stuff you come back.
Like,
every player is like that thing. There's so many moments. And the one thing I'd say about Dublin, you know, last year they win tight games, but they win the All Ireland final by 2 points. They lose the All Ireland final, or the semi final the year before, to the last kick of the game with Sean O'Shea. The margins are so tight. The narrative around teams. Look at Mayo season. We were talking about them last week. They're leading in injury time, the Connacht final against Dublin in the group stages, and against Derry.
Yeah.
And a ball goes against them, and their season is completely different. So the margins are so, so tight. I'm sure Dublin will look back at it and say, could we have done this, could we have done that? But I just think if you look at it wholly, what was the major difference between Galway and Dublin? It just seemed that energy, and maybe a mindset as well, Tommy. You know, that a lot of miles on the clock for that Dublin team, the successes they've had, and the momentum, when it went against them. We've played in games like that, Jimmy. You just, like I say, you know what you need to do. Those players knew what they needed to do, but you just, your body doesn't get you there. And you could just see that the energy, despite Galway, all the science out the window, they were the team we played the week before in a real battle against Monaghan over in Salthill, but they were the guys that had the answers. And a tough day for Dublin and a lot of those players, but like I said, yesterday was about Galway, that performance and what it means for them after a really tough year. But credit to those players and Patrick Joyce, but they've got to get those guys back. If the job's not done 2 weeks time, then if Galway are going to win this thing, and there's no doubt it's in their sight now after taking out the champions, they need those players on the pitch, because they're a different animal when they've got those guys fit and firing. If they don't, I'd probably have those as my favourites. Big caveat, if all of those guys are on the pitch, and it looks highly unlikely, which we didn't think Shane Walsh would be there at all this week, and he was, but he gets a hamstring again.
Are you sure it was a hamstring?
I thought I heard it was a...
It's armed this week, I think.
It was not... Because we're getting different stories all the time. But, like, before we get to Walsh's performance, James, like, the two of ye have gone through this in recent years, and we're not retiring anybody, and you've said it yourself. I'm not retiring anybody.
Second managers. Who should be stepped down as manager
but
after the season?
But to know when to go, like, and it's such a personal thing. Like, when we watched them here down on the pitch last year, and they had returned, and they all came back, and they won back the All-Ireland for Dublin after they had fallen short the previous 2 years. And there was such a big thing there. And it felt like such a goal as a group for them to get that done and achieve it. They didn't leave after the high.
No.
And now it's an All-Ireland quarter-final. The last time Dublin lost an All-Ireland quarter-final was Kerry in 2009.
Remember it well.
Yes. I think they were right to stay on. Because if they're going to go now, at least they can say... They got every last drop of juice out of that. And there's no question marks. Whereas, say they went after last... Was it fine in August or July?
July. Come on, man. Split season.
Say they went July, in July last year.
Wondering, could we get 10?
They'd be wondering, could we stay down for the extra one? I think that would be worse. I mean, they gave it an extra year. Fair enough, they've been beaten. It doesn't matter. They've still had unbelievable careers. They're all blanked. It doesn't matter. I think they were right to go again and try and get every last drop out of it. And plus, they probably loved the season, year. They probably loved playing for Dublin. They wanted to play for as long as they can and hold on for as long as they can. But if they go, I think that if they go, congratulations, they're great careers, but they were right to give it the extra year after winning.
It's the same for all. We're talking about Kerry have a lot of maybe slightly older players. We were there ourselves in that situation. It's an incredible thing to be a part of. It's like playing at Croke Park is amazing. You think of the kids, it's a dream come true. But just being part of that group, the energy around it, like the season, the training camps, everything around it, your identity is tied up in it. So it's a very hard thing for people to step away from. But if you feel you still have something to offer, and we know those guys absolutely do, are some of the best players to ever play the game, why wouldn't you go back? You know, and we always say it, you said it at the start of the time, it's a very personal thing. If your body feels up to it, if mentally, and you'll go, maybe for journalists and stuff like that, you can write an old fairy tale way to finish beating Kerry, and maybe that sounds good. But what about the buzz those players would have been on? I was able to see it from chatting to the guys in the off season. The energy that gives you as well, it's like the last thing you do is walk away. So for any players, and you know, over the next couple of weeks, the four teams that are left, three of them are going to suffer heartbreak. One is going to have pure elation, but they won't be the same squads next year as well. There's always that turnover of players. So whether we do see some of those Dublin guys or not, we don't know. But if you've the opportunity and your body feels like you can do it, why would you walk away? You know, forget about the fairy tale stuff. Yeah. If you love doing it, keep doing it.
Yeah, I'd imagine there'll be fellas taking breaks now over the next couple of weeks before clubs resume, and maybe going on holidays, maybe going to the States. There'll be no decisions made anytime soon anyway. So best of luck to all the teams that were beaten this weekend. Got to the quarter-final stages. That's going to Loud as well. Derry today, who sort of turned their season around. It was very difficult. Such a spin on 3 months ago to the day when they bet Dublin here in the league final. And I'm sure they'll have a winter where they'll be looking at themselves and trying to figure out how they can get to the next level. But for the likes of Galway, the likes of Kerry, the likes of Armagh, let's just talk about Armagh for a moment. They got the job done against Roscommon yesterday. Got the job done. The Roscommon shooting was not what it needed to be. It was nowhere near what it needed to be.
Really tough conditions as well now. But it was still sloppy, but that was that place when it's lashing down is tricky. They're trying to show us out of Croke Park. But the Rossies, you felt Armagh would have too much. I thought Armagh's approach was a lot better. The red card for the Rossies as well.
The red card was deciding thing.
There was no way they were going to get it back.
I think it was a red though, like.
It was a red.
If you're on a yellow, if you're on a yellow, you just don't make a play like that. You're giving the ref a reason. I know he's devastating. Because, I'm going in just for a collision with Rory Grugan, but if you make a play like that, you're giving the ref a chance.
Tries to hit him a shoulder. If he just
if you're on a yellow.
I think if he puts his hand out, he probably doesn't even get booked. He still gets a free maybe, but he doesn't get the yellow. It's the fact that he went with the kind of intent of the shoulder. He's already on a black, and then he can't believe it. I don't know.
It can happen to the best.
It can happen
to
anyone. Tommy, it's happened to you numerous times.
Discipline issues for both of you guys.
But I think that Armagh were the better team.
And they were.
Like Roscommon were your
within
team
themselves, though, weren't they?
All your
played within themselves again. Like same with Kerry today. Played within themselves. Like, what are we going to see in the All-Ireland semi-final between Kerry and Armagh? Are they going to throw the shackles off and go at each other?
I don't think they're going to throw the shackles off. No.
I don't think.
What is that? We've always said, is that Armagh's best chance is to go at Kerry?
Yeah, but I don't think they will.
Okay.
I don't think. Like, the one thing you'd say if you're looking ahead, like you say, Roscommon's shooting was poor and conditions were bad. Armagh kind of forced them to take bad shots. And we know Craig and Cox and Murta, they get hot and Downey Spit, and they were hot the week before up in Healy Park. But Armagh have them shooting from way, way outside the arc. They're probably not the right shots. Roscommon could have done with a bit more patience, and then when the times they do get in, the execution let them down. But Armagh are a hard team to play against. Like, they are a hard, like, defence has never been an issue for them in terms of defensive structure. Paddy Burns comes in yesterday, Falker, we know they have man markers, but they have a system around it as well, and they're aggressive. The question mark over Armagh moving to the next level has been their attacking game, how quick they can transition, how brave they could be, and I think we've seen it over the last month. Far more kick pass, and they've gone. Turbot is having his real kind of breakout year. We know the quality he has.
Connolly had a big second half.
Connolly, has, in addition, different type of player to Mernon and Turbot, but he can chip in with scores and just a real busybody around the pitch. So there's no doubt they have tools that can hurt Kerry. And it's just a case of just what Armagh's going to turn up. What's the mindset? Do I expect them to come out and play like the Harlem Globetrotters? No, that is not going to happen.
Yeah.
They do have the bodies, though, and we've seen it. Similar to Galway, they've developed a lot of bodies over the year. They've got subs, they've got depth.
Grimley midfield.
Yeah.
They do. No, Armagh are going to be a very tricky opposition for Kerry, there's no doubt about it. And the fact that Danahy will know.
Yeah.
He'll know those Kerry lads inside out. He'll know their mentality going into the weekend. He'll be able to give the Armagh lads a little bit of insight there. He'll also give Armagh a confidence about that. I know this Kerry team, yeah, he can do it.
Did you hear what Barry McCambridge said in his post-match interview? Man of the match yesterday, scored 1-2. Donaghy texted me during the week,
yeah,
you're made for Croke Park, attack. Do you know, like, yeah, what impact is Kieran Donaghy going to have in the semi-final?
That's unbelievable.
Good vibes, good vibes.
Great impact, because yeah, he was a great teammate. I guarantee he's a great coach as well. Just having those little conversations to make you feel $1 million. Do you know, that's kind of Donaghy's. It's kind of like that.
Did he ever do that with you, James? Did he? Huh? Did he ever do that with you?
Nah, I always felt $1 million.
He can just say
the right thing at the right time, and
he'll be
telling them, I know this Kerry team inside out. Even that little bit of confidence can go a long way.
It's not mad. Like, if I was getting coached against your own county, or manage it against your own county.
Yeah, but that's where
But I'm just kind of thinking, like, I want to be. Could I coach against Dublin? Or I want to beat Dublin. I don't know.
Never consider getting involved with Meath or Kildare, no?
No.
Not when the football pods are on.
No. It's just an interesting thing. I hadn't even thought of it before you mentioned that dynamic. We were talking earlier on about Joyce and McGuinness, our big buddies. They were in college together. That famed Tralee IT team winning the Sigurdsson. So,
well, Jim said he dropped Joyce a text tonight, and that'll be at Radio Sunday 2 weeks. They're in contact all the time, and Jim obviously did a bit with Joyce.
Yes, but at this stage of the championship, like, yeah, the analysts and the data available in all the games, the teams will know each other inside out. Donaghy will know the Kerry players, but even without that, Armagh are going to go through every single clip of Kerry and vice versa. That's what the four teams are going to do. That's what's going to happen as well, because it's the extra week now. There's 2 weeks leading in. It's like they won't know what to do with themselves.
It's okay knowing what to do as well, though. It's another thing
going and doing
it. If you had to say what's going to win, how much is going to win the game between Kerry and, do you want me to hold it?
No, you're grand. It's falling on you.
Between Kerry and Armagh, how many points will win it? And Kerry today at a base.
At a base
got 15 points.
Give us the real thing.
Kerry got 15 points playing.
He thinks Kerry going to hammer it.
No, I don't.
Jimmy, cut this shit. What were you saying, Hopper? Did you get that? Get the wink.
Kerry got 15 points here playing poorly in attack. Attacking very slowly.
Yeah.
50-50 possession. I think that realistically Kerry will get at least, Kerry could get 15 to 18 points playing.
Like Party and
60.
Do you think they'll take that approach again?
I think if Armagh bring that, you have to match it. You can't be watching the team hand pass the ball around for the whole game. But that's what I'm saying. Where will Armagh get the 15, 16 points?
I think Armagh can get goals.
Goals.
That running game, we've seen from the throw-in today, McInnes's chance. And Derry didn't really bring it again. That question mark. Yeah. And the one thing, Armagh, very strong around midfield. They have the athleticism. Look, this is, last week, if there's one thing we've shown, our predictions are worth absolute shit. But if you're talking about what could happen.
He's not going to get four from play again, realistically.
Well, no, but Barry McCambridge comes up.
Depends where he's playing, James.
Turbot got, did he get 1-2 yesterday?
Turbot's been, or one, I four. Think he's had a he's, really he's been standout brilliant. He's season been for them across the board.
If you talk about watching video and analysis, Kerry are going to be zoning in on him.
And is Jason Foley taking Conor Turbitt after the job that Shane McGuigan did on Foley today? We saw Tom Sullivan pick
him up.
Yeah,
he had a tough day.
But do you think Foley will take Conor Turbitt? Is that matchup?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think that's the matchup physique, for the start, yeah. Like Jason's had an awful lot of tough assignments, and he's come through most of them with flying colours.
As well, yeah, he's exactly.
But he's come through most of them today. McGuigan's top player.
I'm delighted for Shane McGuigan in terms of delivering a big performance. He's had a slow month or two, and you know how much of a leader he is for that Derry team, but he delivered his best stuff today. Hot Rodgers and Glass, but we're getting towards back to the levels we know they can. But look, I think Derry across the board just ran out of puff. But Foley, like, reality is he's their guy. He's going to pick up Turbitt, and I'd say
try and let him
get further up the pitch if he can. But that is a tough assignment, but that's the role.
But there'll be a bit of management there, because Jack's going to need to make Jason Foley know that he's his man. Like, you are my man. But sometimes you need a reminder. Sometimes you need a reminder. But like,
the thing, there is no one.
Yeah, well, Tom Sullivan went on McGuigan today, and McGuigan still got a shot off from inside. But I think that sometimes there's a bit of management in that to bring Jason Foley back and just make sure that he's on point for that game.
Last one on Kerry today. We'll be catching up on Wednesday on our members' pod about these games again. The bench impact. Killian Spillane, Killian Burke, Dylan Ganey getting a lovely score towards the end. What sort of an influence are they going to have over the next 2 weeks? Now, obviously, we've seen the importance of benches.
They will be absolutely buzzing.
Like, is there going to be an AVB game next weekend? Would you imagine?
There'll be 35 minutes of football, definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, Killian Spillane comes on, he kicks straight over the shoulder with his first possession.
A whopper.
It's an absolutely phenomenal score. But the main man I thought that made the biggest difference was Killian Burke, because he came on, he started demanding the ball. He started demanding it off Kerry's leader.
He's
saying,
got
no,
a high ceiling, that guy.
Yeah, he does.
I'll
make another pass, or I'll make a run, take a bit of space away.
It's a bit
he's only out of 20s. He played 20s last year. But he has put on size. Like, he looks like a senior player now, whereas last year he was a bit lighter. If he's to improve, and as you said, he's a hugely high ceiling. There was a times where he had it, and maybe the shot was on, and he just gave it off. A little bit of confidence. That's his next level. It mightn't come this year, it might come next year, but he's been the one where everyone in Kerry is earmarked to saying, this man is going to make a difference to this team.
Do you think Kerry will make changes for now? I don't see them. I think they're probably the same team again, won't it?
Well, Killian Spillane has a great record off the bench.
Yeah, it's like the old Kevin McMenamin thing.
He does have a great record.
He goes against you.
Same with Killian Burke. I mean, why would you take that role off him now after he's done so well in that role? So they might hold him as well.
Better off playing shite.
Dylan Ganey as well had a lot of injuries. Dylan Ganey had a lot of injuries this year. He's back. Swing over a point there. He's delighted now he's in the season. There's going to be points in him. So, I think Kerry will be feeling good about this.
Okay, 3 to 4 man of the matches this weekend actually lined out in the half back line. Killian McDade, wing forward, did a job in a way on Jack McCaffrey, had an inspirational second half. We had Barry McCrambridge scoring 1-2 for Armagh. Who am I forgetting from the other wing back before I get to Pat Morgan? Oh. Who was the other man of the match that I'm forgetting now? Because it was
Pat Morgan.
It was the wing back. No, I know Pat Morgan, but there's a fourth. I'm not going through the games here in my head properly.
Brian
O'Bugleek was man of the match today. Exactly. Bieger. Okay.
Brian Begley. Can I call him Brian Begley?
No, O'Bugleek. We're all Gaelgors, really,
okay.
Paddy.
Okay.
Beneath it all. Same as Swifties. Just depends how much you want to admit it to yourself.
Well, I'm being honest. I'd love to be more.
Pat Morgan actually started this game cornerback on Kieran Keenan, the loud playmaker. Morgan was absolutely, that was an exceptional performance today.
He's such a threat to speed. You know, we're used to seeing him with Ryan McHugh over the last decade as well. And like I said, they're the major weapons Donegal have. It was up against their group game win up in Ballybuffet over Tyrone. It was a very set style of play as well. It was slow, and then pace, waiting for someone to switch off. Owen Gallagher as well, absolute lightning quick. He gets the goal today as well. Yeah, and they do have the long range point scorers of Langan and Thompson, who go well at midfield. On the other side, Tommy Duren does kick 4 points from play himself.
Super.
So maybe a little bit tighter on that side, but that will be a major weapon for Donegal, that running game. Can they break down that Galway defence? But it's nearly, you were making a point, it's so obvious now. Patrick scores 5 points. Talk about putting a bullseye on your back.
After three, he should have just
shifting them off. Like, but
that's the problem with Donegal and the Galway analysts, the Donegal analysts, same with Kerry. They're going to be working overtime up next week.
Do Donegal have the will, or because we haven't seen it at all this season, where they say McBrearty, Oisin Gall, you guys stay inside and we're going to start rounding balls and we're going to play a kick passing game inside. I haven't seen it from them this season. Maybe they are saving
it. No, it won't happen.
I don't think so, but maybe they're saving it for this game. But I think that is a gap in their armoury up front, and I don't think that running game alone is going to be enough to win. We're talking about winning the All-Ireland here, like the absolute peak.
I do think you need that to win the All-Ireland. Yeah, I think you need that. I don't think they have that risk.
So that's why I see them falling short. And you were raising eyebrows when I said it, when they're at the peak about a month ago when they beat Tyrone. I still feel the same about it. It's been an incredible season so far for them, but I think at this stage now, that's a gap in their attack.
I think my eyebrows are always raised on the football pod.
Yeah, both yous were at it, I know.
Do you know who I think is delighted with Pat Morgan's form? I was saying it on the live radio, is Ryan McHugh. Because...
give him a bit of space, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Like, McHugh has been man-marked his whole career playing wing back. He must be thinking, not again. But no, Pater Morgan is kicking five from play.
Get that fella. Yeah. Look at the other guy.
Yeah. Mark this fella instead.
I don't
leave
want
me
it. Take it back.
Like, it's hard to kind of, when you have more options and more danger all around the field, it takes the emphasis off you then, and off, maybe the attention off you. I can see McHugh having a good game against Galway because
he was
might
today.
Just be.
Was
yeah, he was
today.
Very good today. But Morgan was so obviously brilliant. That he's going to demand a lot more attention. It'd be very interesting to see what Galway do to him, because Galway do have fellas who are able to stand up and mark and actually go toe to toe with him.
They are intriguing semi-finals.
Oh yeah,
they're novel pairings. Obviously, we're so used to over the Dublin Kerry Mayo, that side of things. This is.
I'm happy with this.
I wouldn't say I'm happy with it, but I can see from the neutral perspective, absolutely you can.
From the perspective that 2001 was Galway's last All-Ireland, 2002 was Armagh's last All-Ireland, Donegal 2012, they're in the final obviously in 14, and Kerry are here, you know, quite often. Mm. Like, and I understand what you're saying about a Dublin-Kerry final, to an extent, but like, I'm happy to have a Dublin Kerry final every 3 or 4 years, to be honest with you.
A roadshow, yes.
No, but I want to see different teams and different stories and different players getting that opportunity. And, jeez, everyone has a chance now to do it, these 4 teams.
Yeah, it is a massive opportunity. That's it. Like, we were talking last year about the most open championship in years, and it ended up being the most traditional final, Dublin Kerry. So, look, like I said, there's a case for all four of these teams. You're aligning, Jimmy. You think probably Galway and Kerry, you would feel are the favourites going into those games. But the opportunity for Armagh, for Donegal, like I say, Donegal, the momentum they have behind them the whole season with McGuinness, they'll have a plan for that game. Armagh, like you say, do they go in and just go, what an opportunity, this is a chance to take out Kerry, you know? So, and they have weapons that could hurt that Kerry team. So I think it sets it up lovely. Today wasn't the hottest stuff now, to be fair, but Kerry got the job done at Donegal as expected. Yeah. Kind of seen off Loud, just a quick word on Loud, because we're not going to talk about it again for the rest of the season. What a job Jerry Brennan and that management team has done, and those players, the kind of the bad breakup with Mickey Hart at the end of the season, to get to an All Ireland quarter final, the buzz, I remember the atmosphere in Inniskeen last week, and they performed today. Like it would have been a big ask for them to go and beat Donegal. I don't think they're at that level yet, but a positive, an unbelievably positive summer for Loud football.
Yeah, it's funny because Roscommon and Derry, I would say, well, Roscommon went under the radar a little bit, but in terms of the expectations they would have had in themselves, they managed to kind of turn the year around given the losses that they had.
Well, the Roscommon win, the Tyrone win was massive for them, for Davy Burke, to salvage something from the season. They were relegated in the league as well, remember. They've had a tough year. Like.
So I think they're seasons within seasons in this structure. Like, you can fall off a cliff and so you can climb your way back and then you're beaten again and next you go in the quarterfinals. Like,
Manicize crushing.
Yeah, there's so much going on, and that it's actually a challenge for the managers and the management to make sure that you can deal with the disappointment and get back on the saddle, because you're being crucified probably by your supporters and by us here.
Jimmy's
we're
throwing everyone under the bus,
and then
Tommy's
you have to get back.
And everyone. That performance, he's out. He's finished. He's only 24.
He's 28.
What? Anthony Amy.
Here we go.
He's finished. Play that clip. Do you know that clip?
Yeah, so good. I do. I'll put it in.
What about Anthony Amy in? No, he's finished.
He's not finished. He's 28.
You're making me the Grim Reaper of Gaelic football. I'm not that bad.
Very draconian.
Who would you sack, Dono, if you were
who's
all
gone? James, I don't know. I think this is your cue. I think Dermot's parked up outside to bring you home. Is he chauffeuring you home? Paddy, you got to go home after your big night last night with Taylor Swift. I didn't mean it like that. I think that's our cue to go. The Football Pod is brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We're going to be back here in 2 weeks' time. We're going to be back with the Football Pod on Wednesday. Well, some of us are going to be here in 2 weeks' time. Dublin won't be, actually. We're going to be back on Wednesday with our members pod. We hope to see some of you there. And lads, thanks for today. Enjoyed it to an extent. I know the football...
Great company.
Do you know who were the biggest winners from today?
Seagulls.
Football's always the winner.
Jim Gavin and the FRC. We'll leave it at that.
Oh, true.
Thanks, lads. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
Thanks,
Tom.
Good
luck, lads. Good luck.